Well, thank you very much for joining the program tonight. It's always a pleasure to be with you on Saturday. Say, sorry to have to just let Joe go like that, but I had a malfunction with the atomic clock. It decided to reset itself, and I was a minute off. So sorry about that, Joe. Catch you on the next one. You go along with it. Wait a minute. Are we going to talk about science? We're going to talk about everything. Coast to Coast AM, we talk about everything, particularly conspiracies. And what makes it really excellent that Josh Reeves is going to be on the program for the duration of it. His DVD, The Lost Secrets of Ancient America, is such a it's such a rich work. There is absolutely just reference after reference after reference, all this great video and stuff. So tonight we're going to talk about, yes, The Lost Secrets of Ancient America, but also chemtrails and secret ancient societies, bloodlines. You'll find that very interesting indeed. And by the way, just for anybody who might have any doubt, this is why I repeat things, bring things back up as the show goes along, because not everybody hears everything on the same night. Some people have terrible listening skills, but they're trying, and I love that. That's the idea. Keep trying. It doesn't matter whether they're on the left or the right. This conspiracy stuff, you know, what started really, as far as my cognizance of the political machinery, started back during the Iran-Contra affair with Ronald Reagan. Things didn't look much better with George Sr. Things didn't look much better with George Jr. They didn't look all that great to me under Clinton, and they don't look all that great to me under the current administration. We are the government. Some people are just, they just want to be led. The idea here in America is that we lead ourselves. So that's all of that. Anyway, what's so good about having Josh Reeves on the program tonight is that you're going to hear a lot of information that unless you took it upon yourself to study these subjects, this is not going to be discussed in the public school system. I bet you $20. And the wonder that is just lying around everywhere is backburnered or traded for distraction. And it's just, I mean, have you ever seen anything like it? Over the last couple of years, it seemed more than that, but we'll just say a couple. It's just been one thing after another. I mean, one new trauma, a new trauma every week, every week. Asteroid. North Korea, gee, what happened? What happened to Kim Jong-un? You think somebody told him you better knock it off or you're going to get a slap? I think we discussed that on the program, didn't we? Yes, we did. All right, get ready. You've got enough time to go and get the cup of tea, slosh a little milk into it, a little sugar if you like it, honey, whatever. Do something healthy. But you're going to want to hear this. Josh Reeves is next on Coast to Coast AM. Please welcome to Coast AM, Josh Reeves. What an amazing DVD you have produced, and it's so good to have you here. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. Thank you so much for having me on tonight, and I'm excited to talk to you about all this stuff tonight.
Well, you sound very energetic. I'll tell you, this work of yours is extraordinary. I was mentioning earlier that you know, we've talked about giants from time to time, and people are sort of like, wow, that's fanciful. That's really cool. Gee, I wonder if, you know, there's the Book of Giants in a certain version of the Bible and so forth. And now your investigations and this DVD, The Lost Secrets of Ancient America, I sat there for just about all of it. It's amazing. So let me ask you this. How did you... obviously, you're full immersion into this field. So what led you to do it? How'd you get into it?
Well, it really started out as just an interest in the rock wall itself. I had been researching conspiracies and a lot of the stuff you talk about here on your show and talk about tonight. I really started out looking into, you know, UFOs and then later Kennedy and later other conspiracies, Bilderberg Group, stuff like that. And in 2004, when I was reading Jim Marr's book, Rule by Secrecy, I came across the mention of this rock wall. And, you know, immediately, because I had had so many experiences in my life around this area of rock wall, UFO sightings, missing time events, strange occurrences, and knowing a lot of people that also had those things, I immediately felt like, wow, this is, you know, I have to find out about this. So fast forward a few years, I was doing 9/11 truth stuff around 2005, 2006. And then in 2007, I made my first film and started my radio show. And I got into other topics and made other films for a few years. And when I went to start to make this film about the rock wall, and that's really all it originally was intended to be. I hadn't had any plans of doing anything called The Lost Secrets of Ancient America or even going beyond the rock wall. But what I wanted to do, because the basis of this was trying to contend with this ancient set-in-stone viewpoint by the Smithsonian in 1927 that deemed the rock wall to be a natural formation, which has not been challenged to this day, even though scientific breakthroughs in technology have given us a lot more ability to analyze these things more properly than they were then. But yet, this has never been challenged. So I just wanted to strictly look into the rock wall thing. And as I was doing my research, looking at the history of the finds at Rockwall, and I find that when you go back to the closest material to the source, that's generally when you get a lot of the best information, because if something happened so far back in history, as time progresses, as you know, things get watered down, diluted. So as I was going back and looking at the original reports that were found out Rockwall, that's when I started to see these mention of these giants and these giant skeletons being found. And I talked to several people who were also researching rock wall stuff, and they all tend to have the idea that this was just some hoax, and this was just tall tales printed in newspapers. And I started looking into it further, and there were a lot of things that were mentioned, like these black marble pillars that shone like something out of the Orient. I had read descriptions of those things that described them as being the pillars of Enoch in Freemasonry. So I immediately said, okay, there's something else to this. So I figured that if the rock wall was a artificial formation, that there had to have been evidence similar to this found in other places. If there were, that would give me a lot more idea whether or not this is a natural formation or whether or not this is a artificial construct. And as I started to research, as you mentioned earlier in the show, I just found newspaper clipping after newspaper clipping. It blew me away. Of giant skeletons being found. There's literally thousands of these stories going back hundreds of years from the colonial times when they began, of these giant skeletons being found, always near mounds. I had heard stories of mounds being found in Rockwall, although where they're located at has been a heavily guarded secret from what I understand. And from there, I just started looking at this giant thing. And before that, I hadn't really ever really looked into the giant thing or really had given it any credence at all. But as I started finding that these giant skeletons in the United States always seem to be near sites where strange hieroglyphics or strange unknown languages were found, that was also found at Rockwall, I started to see that, okay, this, you know, there's definitely a possibility that what we're dealing with here is something more than just a natural formation or some strange anomaly. There actually is a precedence for a lot of this type of stuff being found all over the United States.
Why is it more people don't know about this? You would think that there'd be a giant human hominid skeleton in every museum in the country for the kids to look at, if nothing else, just to get them interested in archaeology and in ancient history. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that the main reason that is because it answers the question of the missing link. You know, we look at humans and we look at other species and how other species, if you believe in the Darwinian evolution theory, this idea that they put forward to us says that things evolve over millions of years at a very slow time rate. Humans had their evolution jump-started by something, the likes of which science at this point in time does not want to discuss, talk about, or name. And that is exactly why this giant thing creates such a problem, and there has been a lot of disinformation concerning the giant thing, fake pictures that have been put out on the internet, things to sort of muddy the waters for actual factual documentation of this. And I think that at the bottom line of it, as I show in the film, John, the bottom line is that the facts of who these people were where they came from, the knowledge they had, all of this causes a particular problem for a system that has been basing itself on this version of history for so long, because it's like pulling that string and that fabric out of a sweater. You start to pull one and the whole thing comes unraveled. And that's, I think, what they're afraid of the most, because what this information in the Lost Secrets of Ancient America shows is that if there's something wrong with this story, then what else is there out there in the wide scope panoramic view of the world system that has also been wrong? And I think that's what they're afraid of coming out, John.
Well, let's just take it to the next step. What did they think would happen? Everybody just spontaneously go crazy, or just decide to tear down all of these time-worn institutions? Or what are they afraid of exactly?
I think that they're afraid of the fact that if you have people who know that this world and this system and this reality that they've been dedicating themselves to has been a lie, and the truth of it has been being covered up for years and years and years by people at the highest levels of the world system, I think that they're afraid that all hope or all faith in a governing body anymore would be gone, and that you would basically have a system that would not allow you to control humans as they are currently being controlled. Bottom line, that's what they don't want.
You know, you have you're into a lot of stuff out there. Yeah. I gave everybody just an idea, but not only this archaeology, but you've looked into chemtrails and secret society and bloodlines. That I'm thinking that's going to be pretty interesting as we go through the night. What's on your scope right now as far as talking about these the various political actions that are going on? It really does tie directly to the kind of work that you do. If you'll just indulge me for a second, this quote by Ayn Rand. Get this. This is from Atlas Shrugged. She writes of her character. "Did you really think we want those laws observed?" said Dr. Ferris. "We want them to be broken. You'd better get it straight that it's not a bunch of Boy Scouts you're up against. We're after power, and we mean it. There's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, or when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible for men to live without breaking laws. Who wants a nation of law-abiding citizens? What's there in that for anyone? Just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted, and you create a nation of lawbreakers, and then you cash in on guilt. Now that's the system, Mr. Reardon, that's the game, and once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with." I mean, it's just amazing, from restriction of archaeological knowledge like this to this stuff that's being sprayed in the air. Notice when everybody started, when the whole world was abuzz with, just a couple of months ago, about chemtrails. They just kept coming up on people's programs. Notice that the activity subsided a little bit. Now it's starting to come back just a little. But what do you make of that? Let's jump from your archaeological activity to the chemtrail issue. What do you think that stuff is, Josh?
Well, from all the people I've talked to a lot of experts. I've talked to people who've been researching chemtrails phenomenon for many years. I started actually tracking local chemtrail activity in about 2004, taking pictures, getting video. I've acquired tons and tons of minutes of footage and pictures, and always catch strange, anomalous things. And the one thing you have to understand about any operation, no matter how large it is, what you have to understand, especially about something on this scale, is that they never do anything that serves just one purpose. If you look at an event like 9/11, they served thousands of different purposes with that one event. That is the key to understanding why they do these things. And with chemtrails, there are a variety of applications and usages. All this can actually be found by looking at United States Air Force declassified documents. There's tons of declassified documents out there on this. Also with the NOAA system. There's absolutely tons and tons and tons of this documentation. And it appears that one level of the operation, as many people know, does have to do with weather modification. It has to do with climate control, but that's not the whole thing. You have another element of this where the barium that is contained in these chemtrail lines, which is a radioactive isotope, is used in the radar system that they have in Gakona, Alaska, which subsequently is right next to the HAARP array, which they also use in combination with chemtrails.
Yep.
But this radar system gives them a 3D tomographical image of the entire surface of the planet Earth using what is spraying these chemtrails. So there's a variety of usages for it, John.
That's very, very interesting. So that's the key. It's a multitasking apparatus of sorts. Some have even alleged that that HAARP might be a it's a transmitter, all right, but it's also a receiver. So you know that gets out into the realm of the fanciful. But who knows? I think at this point, unidentified flying objects that look like spacecraft from another planet are almost a common sighting now. So I think we're getting closer to some revelation there. In fact, I think we're going to meet them pretty soon. All right, well, all right, let's bounce back. Let's bounce back to this rock wall dig for a second. Is there any more activity going on out there now, or has as much of it been explored as is going to be explored?
Well, no, the answer to that is there hasn't been very much of it explored. That's the problem, and that's one of the goals of my work into all this. I'm trying to do an independent dig of the rock wall where we can have our own independent analysis done to match up with the analysis that was conducted in the last dig that took place in the late 1990s. And a lot of the stuff that was found during that dig was not properly documented. And we're seeking to have ground penetrating radar, LIDAR, the whole thing done, the soil analysis again, the rock analysis all done again. All this stuff is documented already, but it's not documented on film, and it's not documented in a way where a wide spectrum of the population can see this data for themselves, not just have somebody tell it to them. So as of right now, there are no current digs going on, although I did catch wind that there's a TV show, a certain TV show out there, which will remain unnamed, is actually doing something on this, and they were there for a week. And my thing, I was kind of laughed at that because they said it was going to be the definitive thing on the rock wall. And all the experts that I've talked to, the guy who did the last dig, John Lindsay, said he was telling me stories about working for 6-7 months just to break through some of the shale material that covers the top of this 20-mile diameter structure that sits 7 stories below the town of Rockwall, Texas, and is leveled at 550 feet above sea level. It is made not of rocks, but crystals and rare earth metals and all of this stuff. It's an unbelievable thing. And I'm just hoping to get some awareness up on this, and hopefully other people that have information will come forward, and other people that may have places of the rock wall on their property. But really what we need at this point is there's a lot more to be done. And doing it under the guise of someone who's independent like me that has no financial backing from big universities or anything else, that's really the only way we're going to get any facts, because all the analysis has been done up to this point has not been satisfactory to prove what exactly this is.
Is there any university-level stonewalling, if you'll excuse the no pun intended there? Tell you what, we're going to take our break, but when we come back, I want to ask you about a couple of things. One of them is what one might term legitimate academia. Do they stonewall your efforts to make these discoveries? And what do you have to, maybe I should ask you this off the air, but what do you have to go through to get the permits to go digging around in that stuff? This is Coast to Coast AM. Good to be with you tonight. Indeed, those were the days. Someone said recently, if someone were to just drop in on us from, back during the days when the great philosophers were doing their writings, the Platos and the Socrates and so forth, they would probably be the most scintillatingly bright, interesting, cultured, well-versed, artistic person you could ever possibly meet. I really think that we're being marginalized, don't you? I don't think we're being fully utilized. But again, going back to that Ayn Rand quote, what's in it for the government to, what's in it for the government if we all behave ourselves? You know what I mean? Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with Josh Reeves. His DVD, his extraordinary DVD, is The Lost Secrets of Ancient America. And we'll be right back with him. Stand by. A first-time guest on Coast to Coast AM, Josh Reeves is with us. His website is theglobalreality.com. Theglobalreality.com. Okay, so Josh, I wanted to ask you, is official academia, do they stonewall this type of research? I understand the Smithsonian is a repository for many of the world's treasures, like that scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where the Ark's being wheeled back into a warehouse. It's got a lot of other really cool stuff in it, too. Is there an element of truth to this?
Absolutely, and that was another element of the whole investigation that I was unaware of before delving into this. But as I went through my research, and at every turn, I would find, you know, the evidence of, well, we had this artifact, and here's a picture of it, and it was found, but someone at the Smithsonian Institution got it, and it's never been seen again. And after you heard that repeated, you know, 30, 40, 50 times, you start to see a pattern. So I started looking into the Smithsonian Institution and was really startled to find out that many people believe the Smithsonian Institution to be a government-controlled entity, when in fact only the Smithsonian Institution museums are actually government-controlled entities. The Smithsonian Institution itself has branches in almost every country in the world that are there to go investigate any archaeological finds that may be found, because pretty much everything in the world now goes through the Smithsonian first. And when the Smithsonian Institution was first founded, its founder, James Smithson, who was a Freemason, started it to be a repository for knowledge that people in the future could have access to, because he knew, as we're finding out now, a lot of the things that are in these ancient texts and ancient artwork and artifacts, 40, 50 years ago, we didn't have a context for them yet because our technology had not progressed to its current level, so we had no reference point for this. Now we start to examine things in a different way. We're able to see new light of artifacts because of our current technological breakthrough. And the Smithsonian Institution, after James Smithson's death, actually got turned into the opposite of that, because you had the manifest destiny ideology that the Native Americans had nothing worth preserving, and they were worth being wiped out and having their land taken. And then after that happened, you started to see a full shift in the ideology by both the academic world and the Smithsonian Institution. And after that, they started attributing things that even the Native Americans themselves said they had no hand in building to them, to cover up who these real people might have been. But as far as academic world keeping stuff like this from happening, it's really not so much the academic world, in as much as they, you know, they have the power and the ability to just not give grants to people who want to look into this kind of stuff, because they're funded from the top down as well. But I think more than the universities themselves, John, the Smithsonian Institution, again, anytime there are artifacts and sites that are found that they don't find first and get their hands on, they just deem them to be fake. And other times there has been artifacts that they have discovered that absolutely have turned out to be authentic that they still claim to be fake as well. So, yes, there is a great deal of subterfuge and a great deal of cover-up that goes on. And this is, you know, this is the whole standpoint from where I come from. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not somebody with funding from a big university or multinational corporation. And everything that I do in all my films come from people who are just like me and you, who want to see something done and want to see something come out about this in their time. And if we're not going to do it, who's going to do it?
You know, let's wax philosophical here for just a second. Don't you find that in any field of any substance, there's always some official interference? It's just the most extraordinary thing. You would think that, science, I'm going on an archaeological dig, and I'm going to find something that validates many of the ancient writings that have been questioned over the centuries and pondered over and hair pulled, teeth gnashed, garments rent. But no, there's some government dweeb in the way that's just not going to let it happen. And I just wonder, do you think that the... Who are these authorities, Josh? You know, I know this is not on any list, and you and I didn't have a chance to talk before the program, so we're going to know each other, you know, along with a few million other people, and so here we go. But it's like, is there some sort of a evil power that just gathers up people? I mean, people of the government and the churches and the schools and any instruments of influence. The government lurks. Not even the government. That's just a department. The unseen hand is exerting control everywhere you look. I mean, do you find this in everything? Is it always this way and just get over it?
Well, you know, I'm one of those people who I never wanted to be that guy who saw a conspiracy in everything. And I still to this day try to maintain that. But, John, the thing about it is every time I try to not look at something through a conspiratorial lens, it comes back to bite me on the rear end every time. I mean, I end up going, gosh, I didn't even look at it from that angle this time, and I should have. And that's one of the things I found during the research for this film. There was, you know, many things like that. So I think that, well, really, this is kind of a detailed question. The entities who are, I don't think there are people out there necessarily, you know, waiting to go snatch up people who are looking into ancient societies and stuff. I don't really think that's the case. But what there is that there are entities that go beyond just the borders of the United States. There are entities that go beyond just, you know, one country or anything else. You certainly, when you look at the Vatican archives and you look at what kind of artifacts they have and how many of these ancient Sumerian artifacts that were taken from the Baghdad Museum from the invasion in 2003, when Special Forces blew the door off of C4 and went in and took all of the ancient antiquities going back to the ancient Sumerian, Babylonian, Akkadian, and Assyrian civilizations in the Middle East, many of them turning up in places like the side of the road in South Carolina near a military base, many of them turned up in Rome near the Vatican. There has been for the past 10 years, a systematic program going on worldwide to acquire ancient antiquities and keep the information they contain from the general public. Again, as we talked about earlier, this idea of control and control by the withholding of information. And this has been going on since civilizations first arose again after the Great Flood right there on the 33rd degree parallel in ancient Babylon in the Middle East.
Absolutely extraordinary. You know, the Nazis were very, very keen on that Raiders of the Lost Ark actually came closer to the truth than anybody would think. They were obsessed with artifacts, and I'm sure there's some freak up there somewhere in a position of power that is going, tell you what, when you get into that museum in Baghdad, I want that Babylonian thing that turns me invisible. I mean, there are some serious freaks in power. I mean, that's just how it is. When money is no longer an object, you're just at liberty to be as freaky as you want to be. And once you pass the money problem, then it's just all about the power and the exclusivity. Anyway, I digress. Tell the people, tell the Coast listeners, some of these huge skeletons, these giants that have been discovered, particularly the ones in the late 1800s. It was like one report after another, and I'm stunned that I never saw a book on this at any school library I was ever in. Every once in a while you come across a picture of a couple of guys standing next to what appears to be, could be real, could be not real, sort of a mummified 8 or 9 foot tall person, and you go, okay, that's interesting. And but you've been conditioned to just sort of go past it because it's, oh, that's just one of those things like might show up every once in a while at a circus. But the fact is that these giant skulls and these huge skeletons have been discovered all over the country.
And in fact, they've been discovered all over the world. That's the other interesting thing about it. But here, particularly in the United States of America, as I stated earlier, the appearance of these being found near and sometimes in mounds, and not all mounds that are out there are all burial mounds. Some of them are ceremonial sites. Most of them are aligned to various celestial locations, events like the solstices and the equinoxes. We find many, many of these in the United States. And these giant skeletons, what I found interesting about it, and someone didn't even, I didn't really even know this or think about it until after I'd made the film, someone pointed it out to me, that one of a few of the reports of these giant skeletons detail them having double rows of teeth. And that was something that was talked about as these biblical, you know, Nephilim that have been described as giants that have double rows of teeth. And, you know, I want to be clear to people, I'm not trying to come at this from to prove any, you know, religious background or science background. I think religion and science have been the problem here. I think we need individual, independent thinkers looking at this stuff to make determinations on it. And many of these giants and these giant skeletons that have been found also come with tales from Native Americans of this great war between two races of giants. The Mormons talk about this as well. It's very interesting. You have this dark-headed race of giants that were apparently here long before anyone inhabited North America, and then you had later another race that came somewhere from Europe and the Middle East that were giants and had red hair, and essentially these were banding with the natives against these dark-head giants that were said to be cannibals. And you have story after story of this, and particularly in Ohio, there's a location that was described as a giant graveyard. And in 1865, there was an interview in a newspaper where a Indian chief was asked about this giant graveyard, and he said that all he knew that it was there before the red man came, and that it was a cemetery for giants. And these have been found all over the state of Ohio, all over everywhere, Nevada, Texas, pretty much everywhere you can name. And that's one aspect of this I was not expecting. But as soon as I saw that, yes, indeed, if there were skeletons found at Rockwall, which, of course, were said to have been whisked away by the Smithsonian as well, and then we have all these other 30, 40, 50, 60, you know, cases of this on and on, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases, obviously, this is not just tall tales. There has to be something to this. And that's what led me to looking into these burial mounds and finding, you know, evidence of giants being buried near there, artifacts that go back to ancient Middle Eastern societies like the Canaanites and the Phoenicians. And that's really what led me into wanting to visit and go out. We actually, in the film, film on location at in several different states, at several different mound sites, and we hope to do that in future volumes of the film as well. It's one of those things, John, where, you know, researching this stuff and being behind a computer is one thing, but when you actually go out to these sites and visit them for yourself and look at them and realize that a place like Moundville, Alabama, was said to have been built over a period of 300 years, aligned to all these celestial locations such as Cygnus, Orion, and after 300 years, this people who they know very little about just up and disappear. And it was said that this area was aligned to a celestial portal that would allow you to go into another star system. And what we find in the Native American, what's called Native American, but what we find in these ancient sites in the Americas are alignments and stories, religious stories, that mirror exactly the religious stories that come out of ancient Babylon and ancient Egypt. How did the Native American people get this knowledge when it had not filtered, from what they tell us, from anywhere other than the Middle Eastern places, and didn't filter out anywhere from there? Because the Smithsonian tells us that the idea of diffusionism is impossible, and that even cultures in the Americas that were across the Mississippi River from each other couldn't have had contact with each other, much less cultures around the world. But the evidence does not support that, and this is what they continue to do with their point of view and their standpoint, is they continue to push this isolationist viewpoint that is outdated. And it's only going to take people like me and other people out there bringing this to light and showing people that this is indeed going on for things to change.
maybe these portals that you made reference to, maybe they can be used locally as well. Maybe that's how these people went from continent to continent. Or maybe it was so, you know, didn't they prove continental drift somewhere around? They came to the conclusion that, yes, it really did happen, which it was obvious to me in the first grade. Sorry, but it was. In 2004, they found the correct combination of rock, or some rock had migrated or something. I don't remember the details, but they said, yes, definitely continental drift occurred. So maybe it was one giant landmass, and they walked. If there were great big old giant guys, they could and girls, they could certainly cover a lot more ground than, you know, 5 feet to 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", whatever the range is in the current version of Homo sapien. But I'm thinking, if not, then possibly it might not necessarily be a portal to another star system exclusively. It might be, you might be able to jump across town through that portal.
It's a very definite possibility. That's one of the things about a lot of these sites, like the Rock Wall, the Serpent Mound in Ohio. You have both in the Serpent Mound in Ohio and the Rock Wall, you have material underneath these sites made out of crystalline and rare earth metals that actually have piezoelectrical properties, meaning that if you apply pressure to these sites, it will actually produce electricity. And during the last rock wall dig, the construction crew set a digger with a motor going on top of the rock wall, and the entire wall structure began shaking and vibrating, and the caterpillar began shaking as if it were going to take off. And after hearing this and hearing about this 20-mile diameter structure and realizing that rock wall sits at the same trajectory that is necessary for things like the space shuttle to come back in to Earth's atmosphere. In fact, I remember back in the late 90s, they brought the space shuttle over this area because of that trajectory. And it really started getting me to think that, you know, possibly whoever built this thing, it wasn't just a structure, but possibly some sort of harmonic energy generator that could have possibly been used to launch a maroon spacecraft or anything else. It's just unbelievable the amount of energy that this produces. And in fact, the magnetic signature of it is greater than the entire magnetic pole of the Earth. And the gentleman who did the paleomagnetic survey on the rock wall in the late 90s won't even allow his findings to be published on what he found there until after he's dead, because what he found freaked him out so bad. This was Dr. Wolf Goss of the University of Texas. So that's the main thing we start to see, is that with this energy transference, with these high-level acoustical and electrical properties of some of these sites, you're right, John, it very well could be used for any variety of purposes that we're currently not aware of.
The man is, did you say Wolf Gossett?
Wolf Goss.
Oh, Goss. G-A-U-S?
Yes, G-A-U-S. W-U-L-S.
W-U-L-S. Wulz. Wulz Goss. Okay, I gotcha. Listen, this is a great chat. There's the music. We got to take a top of the hour break, so grab a proper cup of tea, and I'll talk with you some more and with a few million of our closest friends here at the other side of the hour, okay? And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Josh Reeves is our guest tonight. I mean that. Happy Mother's Day. Mothers are proof positive. The women are stronger. This is Coast to Coast AM.